This episode of The Wiggle Room Through Time is sponsored by our friends over at Bet Online. As sports keep coming back, so does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline.ag. With a massive UFC event this weekend, NASCAR, Formula One, and EPL in full swing, there's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. If you need more, BetOnline has simulated NFL Madden games, NBA 2K, and UFC happening every day live for you to watch and wager on. And as sports get closer to returning, BetOnline has futures odds on everything you can imagine. Season win totals, division odds, and even odds on every league championship. Visit BetOnline.ag or use your mobile device and join now and use promo code PODCAST1 to receive your new welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at PODCAST1, BetOnline, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit BetOnline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign up bonus. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
Check it out.
Josh.
Yeah, that's right. It's the Wiggle Room Through Time. And we are back here to talk about an episode number 6 from Survivor Cook Islands. And now here's the man who is ready to podcast. He has all his podcasting equipment with him, microphone, headphones, blanket. Here is Mr. Josh Wiggler.
All right, so... Rob, you've done some work. We were talking offline before this started recording.
45 seconds ago.
Because Rob and I, we do this in video mode, and so we could see each other. And as I was straightening up in my chair, I was pulling this blanket that I have around the lower portion of my body up, just to like make sure it's not catching under the wheels of my chair.
You were really
taken aback by the presence of a blanket on a podcast, and you supposed that this may be the first time anyone has ever podcasted with you wearing a blanket.
Yeah.
He's done somewhere between 4,000 and 5,000 podcasts, and you think no one has worn a blanket while podcasting with you before.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a common podcasting accessory. I said that here in the chat, in the Facebook group, and a couple of people reminded me that I did wear a blanket when Caitlin got voted out when she couldn't put on the six-piece puzzle. So
that's even one you forgot.
But it wasn't I wasn't cold. It was a bit.
Yeah. Do you not like a blanket?
I mean, if I was going to sleep, but I want to be wide awake when I'm doing a podcast. Like, I would, you know, I want stimulants.
You don't want to be comfortable while you podcast. That's not something that appeals to you.
No, I don't want to be comfortable. I don't want to be overheated. If the room is too hot, that affects my performance. I want to be cold. I want to be uncomfortable. And I want to be alert.
Yeah.
I want to be hyped up on as much caffeine, cold. I want to be ready to go.
I want to be relaxed. I want to be comfortable. I want to feel cozy. And then, like, if I'm feeling, like, a little sleepy, I have to, like, give myself, like, a concentrated, applied dose of energy in order to be really popping on
a podcast.
By just, like, focusing on that. So, like, I'm physically very comfortable, and then, like, emotionally and mentally, I'm just, like, pouring it all out. That's the way that I do it.
Too comfortable is not good for podcasting for me.
It's the only way I know how to fly. I mean, I've podcasted with you from bed before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been in bed with a laptop. Yes, I've been in bed with a laptop.
How do you project when you're laying prone?
I can project. I have a projective voice. I don't think that anybody's ever complained about me not projecting enough.
Okay.
So I've like done like crisscross applesauce with a big heavy blanket on me with my laptop in front of me holding a microphone. Like anytime I've ever been like podcasting with you on the road.
Yeah, you're laying
like from
down?
A hotel room very often. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm just like sometimes
so much
just laying
baseball.
All the way back like, Yeah. Next top survivor.
I'll tell you what, I've never done a podcast laying down before.
We should try it.
I don't think I would like it.
Yeah, I don't. Well, you don't know. You've never tried it.
Yeah. Okay.
How many years now have you been standing as you podcast?
No, I switch. I like to stand and, you know, come in hot. If it's more of like a serious interview or if I have too much energy, maybe I'll start sitting or I'll stand and then I'll switch it up. But this is very boring, I think, probably for most people.
So. I think this is probably what they're here for at this point. This is premium off-season shit posting.
Okay. All right. Well, we are here and we are back to talk about episode number 6 of Survivor Cookout. Very appropriate because on Friday I posted my interview that I did with the great Yul Kwon.
Yes.
We talked about Survivor 40 and we talked about his motivations to return to Survivor, very much influenced by trying to help Jonathan Penner and Stacey Title, who were our guests here on the Wiggle Room, but a few months ago. Really great interview with Yul.
And so how did this, because I haven't listened to it yet, but I saw in my menchies on Twitter when I signed in today that now it seems like, was Yul on the podcast pitching himself as the host of a rebooted version of The Mole?
I don't think so. I had asked Yul if he enjoyed hosting when he had hosted a show for PBS back in 2012. I was trying to find out from Yul, you know, what's, or maybe if I had asked something about like something that we didn't get to see, and he had talked about how there was one scene, one time at one of these tribal councils where he gave like a really interesting answer to something, and Jeff Probst said, "Well, Yul, you're so good at this. Why don't you just do my job?" And then it was like, ha ha ha. Like, he's like, "No, seriously, yeah, go sit in my chair and I'll sit where you are and do my job." And
it sounds so Jeff.
And then Jeff sat where in Yul's seat and Yul sat in Jeff's seat. And I guess, I don't know, they may have conducted some tribal council business, but it did not make the episode.
I'm disappointed that we never got to see that.
Yeah.
But it's, what a legend. That's amazing.
And he didn't remember which tribal council it was at. And I was asking him, like, was it the tribal council where you were getting voted out? And then was the punchline, like, I guess
point.
You know everything. Like, and then you get blindsided. And then, but then he thought that maybe it was the one where Parvati got voted out.
Yeah. That would be very shady. Very shady.
That would be shady. Anyway, so we started talking about that Yul had hosted a show for PBS at one point, and then the Mole did not come up, but then I think people said, of course, that Josh Wiggler, one of the co-hosts of the Mole Patrol, Mole Rewatch.
Mole Rewatch people were saying, reality TV wrap-ups with Brooklyn Zed and Jessica Lease.
Yeah, why not bring back Yul Kwon to host The Mole?
That'd be great. I'm in favor.
Yeah.
No one, as somebody who has seen literally one episode of The Mole so far, I don't know how you replace Andy Koops, but I am to understand that they did.
Yes.
A couple times.
Yes.
I think Yul Kwon in the Andy Koops role, I feel good about it. On paper, right. I think it's a good idea.
So that was a great interview with Yul Kwon. Go ahead and check that out if you haven't missed it. YouTube has the video as well. My interview with Yul Kwon. Of course, also this past week, we had our Brand Steel action going on where we found out what tattoo Mike Bloom is going to be getting. So that was a highlight of last week as well. Plus, we did a State of Survivor Summit with the Survivor Specialist, Lauren Ashley Bex, Shannon Gus. We talked about where Survivor is right now as it heads into season 41 and beyond, even though there is no production imminent. A good point for Survivor to really look in the mirror and maybe think about what kind of show they want to make going into the next several years of Survivor. And a lot of great stuff coming up this week as well, including the kickoff to a brand new reality series, Tough as Nails, with Phil Kogan. Look for our recap coming Thursday of that
one. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Who's on that? That's you and is Jess there?
Jess and Mike, the Amazing Race crew.
Wow.
Yeah. This is a busy couple of months here for the Amazing Race crew as we then will pivot into Amazing Race 32.
That's nice. That's great. Phil's good peeps.
Yeah. Should be a good show. But Josh, it's time to go back to Survivor Cook Islands, an episode
that aired.
The first
one, right? The first Cook Islands?
Survivor Cook Islands 1. Let's go back to October 19th, 2006, the day before my birthday, 2006.
Ooh. How about that?
Yes, although I
was... What were you doing on your birthday in 2006?
Well, this October 19th, 2006, I believe, is a date that is was not a fun one. And I think I remember explicitly what I was doing on October 19th, 2006, because it was also... I was not watching Survivor this night. Let me make no mistake, Josh Wiggler. I was very distracted watching my New York Mets try to fend off the St. Louis Cardinals in Game 7 of the 2006 NLCS.
Is this Carlos Beltran screwed up?
Carlos Beltran, Endy Chavez,
and
Plan
Voodoo. Are you impressed at all that I knew that?
Yes, yes, yes.
I was watching. That was there was like two years where I was a super Mets fan. And then I lost it, and I don't have much of that information in my head anymore.
It was all one fateful Thursday night. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So a night that we'll look back at the more fun side of what was going on.
Considering we're traveling through time and we're landing fairly closely before that, should we swing by Carlos Beltran and tell him a few things that he may not want to do?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe sit this one out, and also just like be cool, dude. Play it straight.
Yep. Yep. Okay. All right. Well, we didn't need to get into all that. Yeah. But anyway, Josh, this is very exciting this week because we actually have with us, we've been talking about our time travel device all season long, but now finally that we can debut this here.
Yeah. Yeah. Before the time travel device, which we said was a slap bracelet that we will slap on our wrists and it makes the sound of a didgeridoo as we pass through the clouds of time. That was really more of a metaphor at the time.
Yeah.
Now it's real. Now it's not a metaphor. Now it's an actual thing. Now we've got slap bracelets. We've got slap bracelets.
Yes.
They're available. They're in our possession.
Yeah.
We
don't
have
say
them.
They're available yet.
They're not available. they're claimable if you win a Wanda.
Yeah, we have them.
We have them. It's a slap bracelet that says the Wandoff slaps.
Yeah.
With wombats surrounding the words in the Wigglers Wombats font, which I believe has an official name that is definitely not my font. Shout out to Mark Douglas, the great Mark Douglas, who put this all together. And shout out to my wife, who I surprised by having her test out one of the slap bracelets without knowing what was about to be placed upon her wrist. And being very surprised by the Wandoff slaps slap bracelet slaps. It's very powerful. Here, watch.
Okay, well, hold on. Set the time coordinates.
Hold on. Yes. Oh, now just going through time. Whoa.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Could you hear it? It's very...
It's loud.
Let's see if you can hear it.
All right, but let's go ahead. So let's set the Wombats bracelet to October 19th, 2006, to go back and visit Cook Islands, episode number 6, Plan Voodoo on the count of 3.
All right.
1, 2, 3.
3. All right. Going through. All right. Surpassing through time.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness.
Gosh, where are we?
Whoa.
Where are we?
I'm getting a little nauseous.
Yes. Okay. All right.
You know the legends that I keep hearing from all the people who did the preseason stuff for Cook Islands was that that day one shoot was a mess. Lots of people getting very sick from the motion sickness.
What do you mean, the contestants?
I know at least the press, if not the contestants as well.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask our mutual friend, the great Dalton Ross, about that one. I'm sure he would be more than happy to tell you the tale.
Okay. Well, let's pick up the action here in Survivor Cook Islands. We are post-swap. We're down to two tribes now. We have the Rarotonga and the Aitutaki.
Yes.
That's where we're going to start off the action here. And
of the 700 people on this season, how many have we gone through at this point? Like 163?
Let's see. So this is now, forget the All-Stars, we have about 12 seasons of let's average 18 people.
So, I love it when you do math live.
Yeah, it's more like averaging like 12 seasons and 17 people. So
I guess what I was trying to say is this season feels like there's just a million people on it.
There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people here that we're
the
sort
20
of...
Per, the 20-person casts are just gigantic.
Have we had a 20-person cast yet to this point? I guess Palau was, but then they got rid of Wanda and Jonathan. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe... there were 20 people season. I have to ask Jordan Kalish of Guatemala.
This is it. This is the debut of the 20-person season.
Yeah.
I'll say that until corrected. Yeah, and then I believe that is correct.
I think then Panama is 16.
Yeah, they go real light on Panama, and then we're back here with
20, and we definitely don't know how to tell stories for 20 people. Because there's a lot of underdeveloped people here on this cast. And so... it's a challenge here.
It's a lot. It's just there's a lot to love about this season. This is like the inflection point for some of the great survivors, or at least a lot of great survivors. This is Parvati's starting point. This is Penner's starting point. Ozzy, the three-time legendary Candace Woodcock, eventually Candace Cody, of course. Most recently, the winner who returns for Winners at War, Yul Kwan.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a lot of fun people in the mix along the way outside of that. There's a great storyline with the I-24 versus Rarotonga that mercifully has the right ending, because if the Raro side of that wins, this really messy idea for the season ends up, I think, being pretty bad and pretty dark.
Yeah, but they're not really a united front. I think there's the threat of the people from that original Raro tribe was maybe more of a perceived threat than actually those five original players from the Caucasian tribe working together.
It's a great underdog victory story for the I-24. Just a really fun ride. But we're in this, you know, this week we're talking about an episode that is predating that stuff, and we are in this sort of like nebulous area where for like this episode and the surrounding episodes, I think for me anyway, in my mind, they kind of all blend together in terms of like what happened, who got voted out. I think like relatively skippable survivor, except for the fact that this episode, the one we're talking about today, has like the development of one of the most important strategic moves of all time. Yeah. As developed by a player who gets voted out in this episode and never gets called back to play as far as we know, which is bollocks, and you know it. So I'm excited to get to talk about Cowboy, because he is tremendous TV, and he is the father of one of the most important moves in modern Survivor strategy.
Yeah, just to touch on the season overall, like it's a season that I feel like is very top heavy, where they spend a lot of time with obviously with Yul, with Ozzy, with Penner, Candace and Adam. They have their relationship. I feel like we see a fair amount of Nate. Cowboy is a big figure early on here, but even Parvati is underserved. There's a lot of people we don't spend a ton of time with. Feel like that Becky and Sundra, even though they're there, I feel like that we don't spend a lot of time on their story.
They get no respect, and like
until we get to the fire making. Yeah,
they're gonna be like basically like because the fire making was so exhausting, it feels like there's like some storytelling revenge that is taken out on them. That because like everybody had to stay up way past their bedtime, they just get destroyed in the edit, which sucks.
Yeah.
We don't know enough about those characters, and they're two of the final four. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, in this episode, one of the storylines, probably the more underserved storyline, is Christina Coriel, I believe.
Coria.
Who's very sweet. Met her a bunch of times. She's at a bunch of the SoCal.
She seems like I've never met her, but she seems like she's prolific in the Survivor community.
A staple at the reality rally, and you know, she pops up all over the place. So apparently she had had a tribal council at the last time around. Everybody said she was annoying. People were very, very hard on her.
Imagine being Adam Gentry and getting away with telling other people that they're annoying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The nerve.
Yeah. So she's having a hard time. She's having a hard time.
That guy, man.
What are you going to do? Yeah.
That guy, man.
All right. Meanwhile, next day, over at Rarotonga, some great Penner and Ozzy fishing.
Yeah. Ozzy's a beast. He could hold his breath for something like 2.5 minutes.
Yeah. He's very impressed. Very impressed.
That's, how long can you hold your breath for?
Not 2.5 minutes. Maybe a half minute.
Do you think you could go a full minute?
I mean, do you want me to try?
Do I have to narrate it so it's not dead air the whole way through?
I mean, I guess so. I mean,
I'll narrate it. Okay. I'll narrate it. I'll count you in. I'll give you like a 5-second countdown.
Do you have a stopwatch?
Yeah, I do. Hold on, let me pull that up. Let's pull that up so we're making sure we're not just
doing
this
for nothing.
Has this
ever been tried on a podcast before?
Do you want to put a blanket on while we do this so that we really change history?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Disclaimer, don't do this.
Don't put a blanket over your head either.
You know what? Let's not do this. Let's not do this. Let's not do this. Okay. Let's not do this. Now I'm nervous. I don't want anyone to.
Yeah, I don't want people to do the hold your breath as long as you can challenge and then say that this was, these two idiots started this.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
All right.
Don't do it.
How about this, Josh? So we have Tremail. Tremail, a feast is coming for the survivors. What do they need a feast for? Ozzy caught all those fish.
I don't know. Dessert?
Maybe. Okay.
If you're on a season with Ozzy, should all of your food rewards be dessert? Because like you're getting so much savory fish content. Yeah, you're getting a lot of protein. So should Jeff and everybody be like, all right, well, you guys are eating breakfast, lunch, and dinner, fillets of fish. Should we just give you brownies and stuff?
That would be great. That would be much better than what the reward actually is for this episode. I have a lot to say about this reward, which is coming up, which is lamb shanks and cider and bread.
I don't remember.
What is this, a Mad Lib?
Again, I don't remember the evolution of strategy. I just don't really remember doing it or what was said. But I have to imagine we spent a healthy amount of time on the lamb shanks.
What is this? Josh, I Googled lamb shanks. Maybe it's like some sort of native dish that they eat. Maybe that's like the official food of the Cook Islands. So I Googled lamb shanks, Cook Islands, and it was just all I got was recipes to cook lamb shanks. Why on earth was lamb shanks, cider, and bread this great reward?
Lamb's good, man. A lamb shank, you know, you get a lot of protein off of that thing. It's a braised meat, so it's like juicy and stuff. So you're getting tons of flavor for that bread to sop up. And like the like a good like hearty meat like that plus an apple cider, that's a classic combo.
So weird.
It is weird. It's definitely weird. It's definitely not something that is like.
Here's Jeff is going to tell them what they're getting for the reward.
Good news, bad news. Good news is the winners will feast on thick lamb shanks, bread, apple cider.
The bad news
thick
is that's the
lamb
meal.
Shanks.
The bad news is it's a meal that no one has ever eaten until right now.
Look, I don't want to get hate from the lamb shank lovers. It's just a weird reward. And we asked a question last week of who is the most swap screwed person in the history of the show. We got some answers from people. Here's my Twitter poll question for this week. What's the weirdest reward in the history of the show?
The weirdest reward, weirdest food reward?
Yeah,
or just
what's
reward
the most
outright?
Random reward that anybody's ever gotten? I know that they've given away like a one Snickers bar. That's not great. But what's the
but
most
that's
random?
That's more like devilish, right? That's like devious. Like, here's a taste. We're really trying to push like how hard all this is. Here's one Dorito to share amongst the entire Ogrecourt tribe or whatever. But lamb shanks, bread, and apple cider as like it is. It's an odd combination. I bet, and this is a guess, that if you were to list out like all of the food items that have been awarded on Survivor. So you lump all the barbecues together, for example. You lump all the pizzas together. Those are like, barbecue is one item, pizza is one item, lamb shanks, apple cider, and bread is an item. So if you itemize it like that, in terms of like times it's appeared, I bet lamb shanks, apple cider, and bread would be top half in terms of the tastiness. And in terms of the
Check this out. Hold on, Josh. So now I put quotation marks around lamb shanks, Cook Islands. And that is a in Southern Cook Islands, in Rarotonga, under Rarotonga restaurants, there's somebody has a is serving lamb shanks. They cater this?
Maybe. And maybe they were really upset that Isutake won the reward.
Mm-hmm.
That's really confusing for the branding.
Here's a review. This restaurant is worth a visit. We had dinner here on a recent trip to Rarotonga. The bar didn't appeal, and although the reviews of the restaurant are not great, we gave it a go. The food was excellent, and the service was friendly. We had one of the specials, which was lamb shanks, and they were delicious. The brownie for dessert was great. All right, so that would have been the best of both worlds. They could have...
Get a brownie in there. Get a brownie in there. If you throw a brownie into the mix at that point, are you feeling a little better about this? Or does the brownie... But don't you think, like, lamb shanks, bread... Apple cider.
They go right
and
for the
brownie.
Yes. Do you think that Rarotonga like restaurant sponsored this segment?
Maybe. It's possible. You mean the segment that we're doing right now?
Yeah, that's a Trader Jack's restaurant, Lamb Shank. At Rarotonga in the Cook Islands.
I bet it was tasty. I bet it was tasty. Like, you see one point they're like
fine.
Chugging like a jug of stuff. Like, I bet that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Was it hard cider or soft cider?
I think it was soft cider.
Okay.
I think he would say hard cider if it was a hard cider.
Okay.
I can't even tell you how many days is that that they're out there for the Cowboy and Christina vote. Day 15. After like 2 weeks of no bread and meat, I would have destroyed it. I would have done so much damage to that reward.
Yeah.
So we can make fun of it all we want, but like I love all three of those things.
Okay.
All right. I've eaten all of it.
So, Josh, we have a reward challenge coming up here, and there's a little bit of a disagreement over at Rarotonga because Cowboy wants to take the immunity idol to the reward challenge. Now, this might be sort of like, okay, well, what's the big deal? Why is that so weird? But you wouldn't normally take the immunity idol to... the reward challenge that for Cowboy, the immunity idol is like a mascot. He feels like it's a good luck charm. Penner feels like it's a little bit showing up the other team.
Yeah, I think you probably don't bring it. But Cowboy is like really, really wanting to do it. And so it is this awkward thing.
What would you do?
Like, I think I probably would be one of the people who isn't Jonathan Penner saying, I would say nothing. I think I'd probably just let like the universe dictate whatever direction this is going to go in. Like either someone else is going to stand up in the tribe and say, Cowboy, let's not do this. And that person will take the heat and that person will win the argument. Or Cowboy's just going to do what he wants and I'm just not going to get involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I like the idol. And if I'm not the one who's like taking credit for bringing the idol, it's like, oh, well, maybe I do feel a little better with the idol around.
Yeah. Also, I feel like if Cowboy wants to bring the idol to the challenge, let him bring the idol to the challenge. Nobody's going to blame me of like, Rob, why didn't you say something because Cowboy was going to bring the idol?
I agree.
Like, have you met Cowboy? You can't change his mind.
He's got what he wants to do it.
He wants to do it.
Maybe he senses at this point that he is not going to be on the show much longer and he just loves the immunity idol and he wants to spend as much time with it as he can before he goes.
But I think that this leads us to the beauty of Jonathan Penner, who is looking especially beautiful here in Survivor Cook Islands, that I don't think that he holds his tongue.
No. No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
He's not mean-spirited, but if he disagrees with you, he will tell you.
As we learned firsthand.
Yeah.
on his appearance on The Wiggle Room during Winners
That's
at
why
War.
He's great TV. He says what's on his mind.
Yeah, he doesn't hold back.
I don't think we should bring the idol.
Yeah, he'll tell you exactly what he's thinking.
Yeah, okay.
I think this is why he was saying, like, he's not great at this, right? Like, isn't that what he was saying on the podcast? It's like, you know, like, I get in trouble.
He's a straight shooter.
I think that's really it. Like, he gets a lot of hate this season from the fellow Raros who think he's, like, the most annoying person on the planet. I think one thing that tracks is it's often Adam saying that person's very annoying. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder who's the common denominator there?
Yeah.
But I think that it's less that Penner's annoying, and it's more that, like, maybe sometimes he's telling you things you don't want to hear.
He's too open. He's too open about things. And then that's
telling
be,
you what's up.
Yeah. And I think that people mistrust him because that he's very engaging and talks about things that maybe you would not bring up in like a conversation about, like, so who are you thinking about voting for? And I think that it can make people uncomfortable how brutally honest and open he is.
He's honest and he's loquacious.
Yes.
You know, the way he strings sentences together and words together and presents his ideas. I think it's with such a specificity that can come across as schemey in a game of schemers. And yet, like, he's one of the least schemey people to play.
He's misunderstood. Yes. Okay. So we go to the reward challenge, and it's an iconic one. We have the debut here of the reward kicking and screaming.
This is the first kicking and screaming?
First kicking and screaming. Only if it's been done 3 times in the history of the show.
Wow, really? That's it? It feels like this is one of those challenges that happens a lot.
Feels like it comes up a lot. This challenge, for anybody that didn't watch the episode, this is basically, there's a pole in the ground. Hold on to the pole, and then they're going to try to pull you off. I mean, I think that they have done other versions. I mean, this is that we forget sometimes, like, you know, when we go back and watch some of these older seasons, especially in this, middle, teenage seasons of the show, very physical challenges. We saw it in China, really, from Palau through, I guess maybe through Heroes versus Villains. We get like real wrestling, and people come away from this really banged up.
I would hate this challenge. I would I would just surrender.
Would you be a puller or a pulley?
I think I'd be better used as a puller than a pulley. I think if I'm a pulley, I'm kind of just like, they approach me and then I just like unravel from the pole and I say, take me now.
You don't have to do anything, really. I mean, you just kind of have to just be like dead weight.
Yeah, but if you are a puller and if you are afraid of violence and you don't want, if you're afraid of full contact sports.
Yeah.
Then I think if you're a puller, you are at least with a partner.
Yeah.
And you could probably like slack off a little bit in the pulling.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're a pullee, you're on your own.
I'd rather be a puller than be pulled.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think in this situation for sure.
Right.
What I don't want, though, is I don't want to be paired with another reluctant puller, because the puller that I'm paired with really has got to go to work, because I'm not going to do much. Yeah. I'll put my hands on the person's like ankle and like pretend like I'm pulling really hard, but I'm not really exerting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I think it would be a lot. Never broken a bone, and there's a reason.
Oh, me neither. Yeah, I'm surprised the bone didn't get broken here.
I'm waiting for it. It hasn't happened yet, and I know it's coming, and I'm so scared of it. Oh, God, it's going to be awful.
Okay, so...
People with broken bones, give me advice on how to prepare, because I know it's coming for me eventually. It hasn't happened yet.
There's a lot going on here during the kicking and screaming challenge. A lot of coaching from the sideline. Penner is giving some advice, I believe, too. There's an epic match that's going on between Flicka and Becky and Christina Coria.
Yeah.
And Penner is cheering on from the sidelines.
Drag her! Just drag her!
Yeah, drag her! Just drag her.
I have a little bit of a muffled audio, maybe. I thought he said, bread for the bread.
Yes. Get the bread.
Gotta get the bread.
The bread.
Pass the bread.
Yes. Okay. Like when Penner famously told me, "Babies make bread." Maybe he was talking. Maybe he was talking about the lamb shanks and bread that he had back for reward.
I mean,
babies make lamb shanks. Trust me.
I kind of feel like we need to do a homework assignment of cooking lamb shanks with bread and apple cider as a meal.
Next time we're in the same town, we'll go out for dinner for lamb shanks and apple cider.
Find a way to send you lamb shanks, will you eat them?
What do you send me, frozen lamb shanks?
Yeah, so you just cook them. Look, or if I get you
a freezer is too full right now. That my wife buys things puts things in there. Everything's
all out. I'm offering to buy you lamb shanks, sir. Eat them.
You want me to eat a lamb shank? You take me out for a meal. Don't send me frozen lamb shanks plan a night
for us anytime soon.
Thaw out lamb shanks.
Yeah. What if I get them sent to you fresh?
Nobody else at my house is going to eat a lamb shank, okay? It's just going to be, I have to take them out of the freezer, and I have to, they're going to go to...
Yeah, but you could cook them, and then you get lamb shank leftovers for days.
Look, you want to eat lamb shanks. We'll go to some Brazilian barbecue.
Is that where they do the lamb shank?
I think they just bring out all the meat.
This is the second podcast I've been on in a few days where we've been talking about Brazilian barbecue.
Mm-hmm. It's very delicious, okay? But don't send me frozen lamb shanks. I need that.
I might do it.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay. All right. So we're going to have also, by the way, this is a reward challenge, but it's also for immunity, because both tribes are going to tribal council. Surprise.
Double tribal.
Surprise.
How many of these have we had so far?
One like every season around this point in time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's also going to be a surprise at Tribal Council, which will be revealed later.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. I forgot
about this. Additional round of lamb shanks.
Yes. Okay.
Brownies with the lamb shanks.
All right. So after the challenge, we're going to see that the winning tribe is, I believe, Aitutaki. Going to win.
I2 wins.
Okay.
I2's going to win. They're going to win the lamb shanks and the apple cider and the bread, which they will eat at tribal council, but only after somebody's been voted out.
But they'll
out.
Also get to listen in on the other tribal council.
Correct.
Okay. Correct. All right. So then we go back to Rarotonga to listen in on what is going on, and we hear a dream that Cowboy had.
Oh, this is I2, right? This is I2 where this is going on.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, Aitutaki, okay?
Yes.
That they have in the evolution strategy, we couldn't keep the tribe name straight on this, okay? But that Cowboy has had a dream. He thinks that Penner has the idol. And he's trying to find a way to vote Penner out, even though he has the idol. So let's listen to this dream that Cowboy has had.
I had this dream. I was dealing with all these supernatural people and with supernatural power. And there's a shaman lady, like this old lady. And she had all kinds of credit card applications. And she asked me if I have an American Express card or Visa, all the stuff I'm looking at it. And I said, what do I need it for? She said, well, you need three of that and three of that. And I thought, three and three. That's how you can defeat the immunity idol. You can flush it out. And I woke up and I go, whoa, playing voodoo.
It's amazing. You know, I do think that there is something to this. More and more I'm thinking there may be ideas exist in the air. There is this other realm where these things come to you and you divine them. Mm-hmm. Cowboy accessed that space and from it, he brought back into the mortal realm one of the most important moves in Survivor ever. Mm-hmm. He doesn't get to implement it, but he is the first to name it and to identify it as, we got to split the votes and flush out the idol. It's mm-hmm. Cowboy.
Yeah.
Do not forget his name. He did this.
He did it. So Can we talk through just his dream a little bit, Josh?
You need not three American Expresses.
Yes, okay. So listen to this. This part is...
I had this dream. I was dealing with all these supernatural people and with supernatural power.
Like superheroes, Josh.
Not necessarily.
Like the X-Men?
It could be. There's a lot of different types of supernatural
powers.
The
Avengers?
I don't really want to get into this with you, to be honest. Like, we're going to get caught up in the definition of supernatural. I don't think that it's what we want.
Okay.
I equate supernatural more with, like, something that's, like paranormal, little otherworldly. So it's certainly not like the X-Men. The X-Men aren't really supernatural. That's a genetic evolution. Yeah.
And there's a shaman lady, like this old lady.
Now, is this the old lady, do you think, that Jeff Probst wanted, like, the New Orleans grandma to narrate season 40 Winners at War?
Wait, I don't remember that.
Yeah, that's what he said he wanted. That was his idea for the opening to season 40. He thought that there should be, like, a New Orleans grandma. Like a Cajun grandma.
Really?
Yeah, you don't remember this?
No.
Yeah. Okay, so I feel like that, I don't know, this might, I don't know, maybe, I don't know if you can handle this. This might upset you.
Am I waiting for a sound clip? Am I waiting for more information?
I'm debating whether or not to get into it. I don't know. I feel like that,
what are you talking about?
The origin story of what was going on with the season 40 song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do we have information on that?
Yes. This was Jeff at the season 40 premiere event that they had, and Jeff talked about that basically did you wonder how the You Better Get Ready song started?
Of course. I wonder about the whole thing. I wonder why they haven't released a full version.
Okay, well, this is where Jeff explains where it came from.
And, you know, a lot of storytellers are here tonight. We get inspired by, like, there was a show, there was a great documentary on I can't remember what it's called. What was that HBO documentary, Matt?
The Defiant Ones.
The Defiant Ones. And they did something in there where they, just about the way they were cutting it, and I called Matt, I go, you know, we could break our own mold. We don't have to stay in the linear time. It. And, you know, so the editors start playing with, what if we don't show somebody find an idol? What if we tell you they found it, and then we show you a flashback? So we're still going to show you, but we're going to, and that's doing, we're doing that now with music. We just cut something in episode 4. Well, we started with this woman. You better get ready. This is how, okay, my son is here right now, and this is how fun Survivor is. Somebody can have an idea on our show. Like, I was in my car, and I thought, I want to hear, like, a Cajun grandma narrate every episode. The original idea was, what if at the beginning of every episode, somebody said once upon a time, whatever it meant, but it was kind of once upon a time.
Yeah, and that was the old woman, maybe. Cajun grandma.
That is so perplexing. There's too much to unpack in what was said there. I want to focus on Jeff singing, you better be ready.
That was going to be the Cajun grandma who's going to open every episode of Survivor. And maybe she was also the woman that was, maybe that's who Cowboy saw in his dream.
I'm so confused. I'm so confused. I thought I'd be less confused by the time that you told me what you were talking about, but I am now more confused than I was before this segment began. To be honest,
I had this dream. I was dealing with all these supernatural people and supernatural power. And there's a shaman lady, like this old lady.
Yes.
And she had all kinds of credit card applications.
Yes.
And she asked me if I have an American Express card or Visa, all the stuff. I'm looking at it. And I said, what do I need it for? She said, well, you need three of that and three of that. And I thought, three and three. That's how you can defeat the immunity idol. You can flush it out. And I woke up and I go, whoa, playing voodoo.
My favorite part is...
three Amexes.
Yeah.
Three MasterCards.
You need three of that and three of that. But the whole like story is like, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then I woke up. playing voodoo. Like, how is that the punchline to the story?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
the
yeah,
aristocrats.
The aristocrats.
Yeah.
Like, what? I would love to hear Cowboys yeah. Aristocrats joke.
But maybe it is. Maybe it ties in Cajun grandma voodoo.
Uh-huh.
Think about
maybe.
It.
Maybe. Okay.
Tied
now
into
you're
New Orleans.
My mind.
Yeah.
Now you're yeah. blowing my mind.
It's playing voodoo.
Yeah. Yeah.
You better be ready. I got some lamb shanks for you.
I honestly would love some lamb shanks. I'm not even kidding.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't okay. Have the lamb shakes if they were in, what is the meat box that you sometimes talk about?
Butcher box?
Yeah, you wouldn't do it?
I would have a lamb shank. I'm fine. First of all, I'm not even supposed to be talking about food on a podcast. That I'm not. People don't like
we're
it
really
when I talk about food
I
on
think
a podcast.
People are enjoying the lamb shanks.
And then and nobody else at my house is going to, I'll be throwing away lamb shanks.
Yeah. You're going to bring them in. You're going to cook them. You're gonna be like, all right. All right, Anthony. All right, Dominic. This is dinner. And they're mm-hmm. going to look at you and they're going to say, no shanks.
Yeah. No shanks. Nicole's not eating
shanks,
a lamb
no
shank.
Shanks.
Nobody's eating a lamb shank.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So Cowboy makes a mistake here. Tells Yule about this plan.
The mistake is that Yule has the idol. Cowboy yeah. does not know that Yule has the idol. He doesn't know that. He thinks that like Penner probably has it and we should do the split vote to get out Penner or Candace if Penner doesn't play his idol.
Mm-hmm.
Or if he plays the idol and he is able to get out.
Yeah.
Yule's like, oh, this is a really good idea. It's bad for me because
right.
I have the idol. And I think he's realizing like I'm underestimating Cowboy too. Cowboy because I think game recognized game, right? Like I think Yule's gotta know like that's really good. That like
that is good. I think that Yule didn't not ever really want to work with Cowboy. That you know he describes him as an interesting person. That we talked about Cowboy briefly on Thursday, but I just think that Yule this is not the Yule's type of guy in terms of Cowboy's a wild card. He's
yeah.
a loose cannon. You don't know what he's going to say. You don't know what he's going to do. That this is not the kind of person Yule wants to be working with.
Yeah, unpredictable.
Unpredictable, right.
In his mind, probably.
Unstable yeah. element, right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, and I think, like, the clearly because he gets voted out, it seems like this is a fairly agreeable one. So rather than push back against it too much, let's just do the agreeable, easy thing.
Mm-hmm.
And get rid of Cowboy, which I hate because he's such a great character.
He is such a great character.
He's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That Cowboy is very concerned. He wants to split the votes between Jonathan and Candace. He's very
right.
concerned about Raro getting back together, even though his closest ally does appear to be Jessica, aka Flicka.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're tight.
They're buddies.
They're tight. Yeah,
they're buddies. Okay. Meanwhile, let's go back to
what's there even to say about what's happening at Raro, right?
Like catch Christina, an octopus.
Christina's like, hey. Please don't vote me out.
Yeah.
Consider not voting me out. I know you all said I'm annoying at tribal council the other day, but please give me another shot. And like Parvati's like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah, they're
that's like
all
of our Parvati
well, I'll
content.
Think about it. Yeah.
Any takeaways from revisiting the Parvati 1.0?
No, they don't give her much to do.
They don't
do.
Really give her anything
yeah.
to do. Yeah.
They don't.
At least in this episode.
I guess we should say that they don't really tell the story through her eyes. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like that she was doing stuff. I'm sure she was fine, but we don't ever really see the story told from her perspective. If this was a song of ice and fire, you know, she's not a narrator in any of these chapters.
You know, I was watching this show on HBO. What was it called, Matt? Game of Thrones. Ah, yeah. So we could do some really, really cool stuff with dragons on the show.
And then sometimes they have the characters as you're seeing their perspective, and then other times then they have spent like a whole season and you don't even see that character. And then
we'll keep the winner out for an entire season. That's what we'll do with Chris. We won't even have him on the show, and then he'll be on the Iron Throne at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You better be ready. Winter's coming for you.
And they got a whole episode where it's night and you can't even see what's going
you can't
on.
See
it's
a lot.
Crazy.
You can't see a lot, yeah. But why can't we do that?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we could have old Nan narrate every episode. don't know if anyone else thinks it's funny, but we're dying over here.
So the octopus that ends up being captured by Nate to be eaten for dinner looked bear a resemblance to that Sir Squiddington tattoo that could potentially end up being and also ran for Mike Bloom.
Yeah, no spoilers. I don't want to know. I don't know yet. I don't know the answer to who won the tattoo contest. Yeah.
We see from Nate's perspective, the question is, should potentially they vote out Christina or maybe vote out Jenny Guzon Bay? Love you, Bay.
Yeah, but it's clearly, there's no drama to the Raro side of this. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not doing a long watch of Survivor Cook Islands 1. We don't need to get into the nitty gritty of like, what's Raro going to do? There's no drama here. Christina's getting voted out and it is plain as day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Most of our big characters are all on the other tribe, with the exception of Parvati, who is not a big character here in this season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Christina's getting voted out and there's really no viable alternative.
Nate Gonzalez.
I love Nate.
At the RHAP 10-year reunion show and he was awesome.
Yeah. Who was he on stage with? He was on stage at
Ozzy.
One point with...
He came up with Ozzy and Katie
and
Gallagher.
Christian, right? Wasn't Christian on?
And then Christian also came on there also. What a
panel.
That's
amazing.
What a
That's
night.
Awesome.
You know?
That's glorious.
We didn't get to do much in 2020, but we had one hell of a night that night.
I'm the when it comes to my kitty cats, I'm the pooper scooper in the family. I clean the litter. Mm-hmm. And I think of Nate Gonzalez often as I'm chopping the poop.
He talks about chopping and cutting in this episode also. He doesn't use the metaphor of chop them up
like cat poop.
Yeah. Like poop. But he does talk about cutting people up. Okay. All right.
Meanwhile, didn't get it at the time as a cat owner twice over now. I get it. Mm-hmm. It's real.
Okay, so back on Aitutaki, Yule and Penner are having a talk. Penner thinks they should vote out Cowboy.
Yeah, clearly, because they have been having some friction, the two of them.
Yeah, yeah. Penner and Cowboy are not really seeing eye to eye.
No, and they haven't been the entire episode.
Yeah. We even see a couple of the women, Sandra and Becky. They don't love Penner either.
No, Penner doesn't have a lot of love this season.
Only Yule. Yule loves him.
Yes. Yeah, but it seems like it's not, people are not really showing up for the Penner barbecue this season.
And Candace, I think at this point, that is an ally. Penner will say about the mutiny that will be coming soon. That I believe it's a clip show. The next week is
the mutiny? It started playing up for me. I was like, wait, we have a clip show after all of this?
Yeah. You think anybody's watching the clip shows when they go back and watch these old seasons?
I expect that some people do. I don't really know why.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, personally. But you do you. You do you, boo-boo.
Yeah.
And boo-boo.
But Candace, I think, is an ally. Penner says that I only stepped off the mat because Candace stepped off.
Yeah, she's his number one.
Mm-hmm.
And Candace will tell us a couple of times, like, I'm not really a Penner fan.
Yeah, yeah, that she's going off to the other
side.
She's
trying to go back to Adam.
Yeah, yep, yep, yep. Okay, all right. So Cowboys feels like he can trust Becky and Yule. We're headed to our first tribal council.
Right, so there's some drama here in the first run where you don't really know. Like, Penner's been getting some of that, like, I don't know if I can trust Penner content. And Cowboy's been getting some of that, no, I don't know if we can trust Cowboy content. So, like, you know it's coming to a head. And this one's, like, kind of, if you like entertainment.
I do. I like entertainment.
If you like entertainment, then this is sad, because you're going to lose somebody who's entertaining either way. Somebody who's been really good TV.
Yeah. Okay, so... Tribal Council number one, we're talking a little bit about Cowboy and about how he has brought the idol to Tribal Council. And Jeff thinks that this is unusual also, that nobody has ever brought the idol to Tribal Council.
Yeah, he has questions as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that Cowboy feels like that it's a member of the tribe.
Yeah. This guy's part of the squad.
Mm-hmm.
We want to make sure that he's hanging out.
Yeah. And so
don't want him to be alone back at camp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yule, that he is very good at this tribal council. I mean, Yule's put in a couple of tight spots here. He has to talk about Cowboy, and he talks about how he's a shaman, he's a cheerleader, and so that he's very good here. He's also put in a tight spot about talking about, like, the are there leaders in this tribe? And Yule really paints about how, you know, Jonathan and Cowboy are so outspoken, and, you know, there's no designated leaders, but they do listen to Jonathan.
Yeah. He's, you know, he's in the position of having to answer some hard questions mm-hmm. about the state of the game. And Yule, as his, you know, reputation will develop from this moment forward, as he's going to go on, you know, this winning run here.
Yeah.
He's very good at this. He's very good at talking very diplomatically and, like, negotiating yeah. these waters and
he's
saying
he's the leader.
He's the leader.
Yeah.
And he's doing a good job of, like, throwing that away and being like, I'm not that. That's not me.
Yeah. There's also a confusing metaphor that Cowboy throws out about the queen. Did you follow? Because Jeff was very confused about this, about how he's talking about that this game is about the taking out the queen on the chessboard, but the queen is undefeated.
Yeah, I was thinking it makes sense more in, like, hearts terms,
mm-hmm.
Where, like, you want to flush the queen and get somebody stuck with the queen because then they're going to get all the points and that's no good.
Yeah.
Maybe, or you want to collect the queen and then all the hearts as well and you want to shoot the moon.
Was Cowboy looking into the future and was seeing Sandra and her winning a second time, and that's when the queen was undefeated?
Sandra was the shaman. Are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. Sandra's, like, giant talking head from the Island of the Idols. That's what he saw.
Maybe. 3-3?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the third. Dragon has three heads, Josh.
Yeah, she's going to win. What's that show called?
Yeah, they should use that. They should use that. Okay. Yeah. All right, Cowboy is going to be voted out. I don't know what happened to the immunity idol after that. Did somebody just end up grabbing it?
I'm sure they hang on to it. Maybe they let Cowboy leave with it, and they just replace it with mm-hmm. a different prop from the art department.
Yeah. Possible. Okay.
My bigger question is, did they give Cowboy lamb shanks, apple cider, and bread on the boat ride back to Ponderosa?
I mean, he gets whatever he wants at Ponderosa, but he doesn't get that.
That sucks. Can you imagine, like, getting voted out there? Like, not only are you out of the running for the million, but no shanks?
Yeah, I'd be fine with no shanks.
It's tough. Tough draw.
So.
You'd rather a Snickers bar.
Yeah, I'd rather have a Snickers bar than a shank.
Like a fun size pack of, like, Ruffles Ridges.
Anything. You know, yeah. I would not be.
Anything other than a lamb shank?
I would not be dying for it.
That's how down on the shank you are?
Well, listen to this. Okay, so it's time to bring out the shanks. Go sit in the jury booth. Time to bring some shanks out. And Jeff is going to be the person serving these lamb shanks. But watch out.
Bread, lamb shanks. It's heavy and hot.
Heavy and hot.
Heavy and hot. Coming in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mmm. Heavy and hot. And then this was my favorite part, Josh. This part was just that I don't understand why this was left in the show. Okay, so not only lamb shanks, heavy and hot. Jeff also wants to...
Because I want you to have a civilized meal, some napkins.
What?
He gives them like four.
How did that make the cut? Like, Jeff is going to give napkins to them also. I want you to have a civilized meal.
That would never make it in Modern Survival.
Mm-hmm.
If they got, like, a roll of bounty, we'd never hear about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's a bounty roll. Do a bounty roll. Yeah, we would never find out about that.
Okay. All right. So we see a little bit of a flirty Candace going to blow.
What are we going to talk about?
All right, you want Christina gets voted out. I mean,
what else is there to say?
I mean, what do you want to not talk about the old Survivor episodes here?
No, I just don't think that there's any drama to this.
Yeah. Christina.
I think like a solid like 15 minutes of this episode. Maybe that's harsh. I'd say like 10 minutes of this episode. Like,
how
you just
this?
Know what's going to happen.
All right. So how about this, Josh?
Mm-hmm.
There's a twist at this tribal council.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
The Itutanga tribe gets to, or Itutaki, they get to kidnap somebody from Rarotonga. They get lamb shanks, and they get to go and have a sleepover. And they can't get voted out, and they can't vote.
Now, I think this is tough because I think, like, to be picked to to be saved. You're automatically safe. You're given an opportunity to learn some information about the other people, especially if you're somebody who seems to be in the good graces of the larger group like Nate does. Seems like a great opportunity, actually. Mm-hmm. What's hard is, yeah, you're getting food, and I think that the food is probably going to be tasty and delicious, but their stomachs are probably already not great, and so this might wreck them a little bit. So now you're like going to go over to like your guest's house, like you're going to like somebody else's house, and like, what are you going to do? Like, you don't know where to go. I'd be very nervous.
Yeah,
I wouldn't want to be picked here.
You would. That concern would want you to prevent from being picked.
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know any of them.
Wow.
I'm too afraid. I wouldn't want to do my business with them on the first
some
night.
Of them.
I don't know. Not at the time. Oh, I guess I know some of them. I'd be like, can you gently break to everybody that I have to use the bathroom?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't trust it.
Yeah.
I think I'd be very nervous. And then everybody's like, oh, he's going out looking for an idol. It's like, no, my stomach hurts.
Yeah. I don't think we need to talk this part through.
Just what it concerns me.
Yeah.
Do you think they make the right call in taking Nate?
I'm not sure. They don't really explain. Maybe in the next episode they explain the logic. I'm not sure why Nate. I'm not sure who would have been a better person to steal.
You know, if they're going to vote out Christina very clearly, then if you take her now and you have still some runway before any kind of merge situation, like, what are you really saving her for? Whereas if you're trying to select somebody who seems pretty valued and liked on the other tribe, maybe build that on-ramp now. So I think it's a good move.
Yeah, I mean, the options here from the other tribe were Christina, Jenny, Brad, Adam, Parvati, and Rebecca.
Yeah, I think Nate's a good pick.
Yeah, I think that I think they looked at him as potentially like their best challenge player, and I think that he play the next challenge on. It was through the challenge.
Right.
So I think that they were looking at it like, okay, well, this is going to be another person to help us win the next challenge.
Yeah, maybe.
I believe that's the case. I'm just looking ahead onto the next episode from the Survivor Wiki. Itutaki grills Nate Gonzalez with questions since he was at their camp as part of the kidnapping twist. However, Jessica Smith then expressed her disappointment with her not knowing Cowboy was going home the night before. Nate was thrilled to be getting good information from his opponents. Afterwards, Candace, Yule, and Becky tinkered with the order of who they wanted out, deciding that Ozzy, Jessica, and Penner would be the next ones to go. At the reward challenge, Itutaki maintained a steady lead over Rotunga, and they solved the puzzle. Immediately, they sent Adam to Exile Island, and they wallowed in their new peanut butter reward. Okay, so not sure if Nate is going to be a part of the reward or not.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, all right. Josh, so that's it. That's it for talking about this episode.
Yeah, I'm glad we talked about it. I think coming into this week, I thought that we picked this episode so that we could really get into the strategy of a split vote, and instead it just ended up being...
Do you want to talk more about the strategy of a split vote?
No. Not really. Yeah. Okay. I'll leave that for Mike and Liana, or David and Jessica.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel like there's anything about a split vote that is interesting that we haven't talked about?
Ever?
I mean... Well, what about, let's just leave it to today. Is there anything else about split votes that you want to talk about?
No, I think it's just great that Cowboy thought of it, and I would love to see him play again. I think it would be fun.
The first split vote is actually going to happen in Survivor Fiji.
Yeah.
That's where we're going to see that. And I don't know, did the players in Survivor Fiji see this episode? I think that they had
Did they see this one? When did they film?
So this
goes in October. This is October of 2006 when this episode airs, October 19th, as you said.
Yeah.
And then Fiji is filming from October 30th to December 7th.
They would have seen it. They would have just seen it. Okay. So
Cowboy absolutely invented the split vote.
Yeah.
So 100%. 100%.
Good, Good for Cowboy. He is on my list of talking with T-Bird names to track down.
I would love that. That sounds so fun. I would love to listen to that podcast. I would listen. I would devour that podcast like a hot and heavy bowl of lamb shanks.
Hot and heavy lamb shank. Okay. Yeah. All right. Before we get to the wand off this week, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends, Josh, over at BetterHelp. Of course, BetterHelp. Online counseling. We are in extraordinary times, and if you're struggling with stress, anxiety, or depression, you are not alone. BetterHelp offers online licensed professional counselors who are trained to listen and to help. BetterHelp counselors specialize in many areas, including relationship conflict, anxiety, depression, loss, trauma, and more. Securely connect with your counselor in a safe and private online environment. Everything you share is confidential. You simply fill out a questionnaire to help assess your needs and get matched up with a counselor in under 48 hours. You can easily schedule secure video or phone sessions with your therapist, plus exchange unlimited messages. And if for any reason you're unhappy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time at no additional charge. You can get the professional help when you want, wherever you are. Josh, it's a great time to be talking to an online counselor. And yeah, it's also something that has never been easier for people to do.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're here. You know, this is the format right now. And this is an organization that is, you know, even pre-COVID, locked into this as a practice. So, you know, you're talking about truly getting better help, right? Like, you're truly getting help from people who are really trained to deliver it in this fashion. So,
yeah,
good cause to consider for sure.
Yeah, I got to try it out a couple of weeks ago, talked about some issues in my work-life balance, and you can too.
I feel like you just subtweeted me.
What was a subtweet?
I feel like you just... Did I do something?
I didn't talk
you
about.
Just
I,
talk
did,
it
I talk
out?
About, did I talk about your work life balance?
I don't know. Like, what did I do that made it your work life balance so hard?
I bet it's. It wasn't about you.
Okay.
It's only about me. And honestly, it's confidential between me and the therapist, Josh.
That's fine. I shouldn't be prying. You're right.
BetterHelp is an affordable option. Our listeners get 10% off your first month with discount code RHAP. Join the over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people are using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Get started today at betterhelp.com/RHAP. That's betterhelp.com/RHAP. Talk to a therapist online and get help. And without further ado, let's check out this week in the wand off.
Stop right there. You want to know right now. Before you go any further, this is Wanda. And you're in my arena if you need to. You can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice.
And shut the shank up. Yes.
Yar. I don't think that's a saying.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Should we brand that? Shanks for nothing.
Shanks for nothing. Okay. All right. Josh Wiggler, here we are for the Cook Islands 1 wand off here.
Yeah.
It's all happening.
It's crazy to go back to Cook Islands 1.
Yes.
This is what started it all.
It's what started it all. The first of the Survivor Cook Islands. And so here we are back to talk about. But first, we have to talk about the winner of our Survivor China wand-off from last week. We were very fortunate to have the great PG Law with us last week.
Oh, that was so fun. That was great. That was awesome.
Let's talk. Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and count down our top three from last week when we look back at Survivor China. Of course, the tabulator, Kurt Clark, is on the ball with the voting results. In third place, it was Lyndall from Tasmania with What a Woman, about the showmance between James and Denise.
Yes,
In second place, with 22.3% of the vote, it was the dynamic duo of Aaron Robertson and Nick Fishman with Bad Swap. And the winner of this week's Wand Off, I'm very excited to announce, with 55.5% of the vote, it was Jess East and Will A. talking about how Aaron was the victim of a swap screw.
Behind the stand over on Jahu. I ask her if she's good at puzzles. What does she say? She's like Sudoku and a
Sudoku vintage.
If there is a job, he'd still be with ya. Ha! Now ain't that some sh.
All right, congratulations to Jess East and Will A.
Amazing. Wand off slap bracelets. Coming your
pair
way.
Pair slap bracelets coming your way. Okay.
In a tiny little box with wrapping paper on it, strapped to a balloon, and just sent to your island.
And Josh,
out of the sky.
I don't think it would be too much to ask for Jess East and Will A to, as part of their upcoming wedding ceremony this fall, to then, in addition to putting on the ring, also
to slap each other with the slap bracelet?
Yes.
Obviously.
Bracelet. And now for the slapping of the bracelets should be part of the ceremony.
If that's not part of the ceremony, then I'm going to ask for you to send the bracelets
at the
back.
Very least, that maybe Jess can have it like as
an outtake.
Yeah, or as like instead of like throwing a garter, maybe throw the slap bracelet to people, then somebody
can
catch
it. You gotta throw, like you gotta aim it. You gotta aim it and have everybody like be like hands up in the air and then like see which wrist it slaps. That's innovative. That's cool. I like that as an idea for just like moving forward. Instead of throwing flowers, we throw slap bracelets.
Sure.
At weddings.
All right. Here's a man who is no stranger to
Lamb Shanks.
Cider and Shanks. Here is the host of the Wand Off, the late great Casey Kasem. Rob and Josh, I am back, and I have no idea what you're talking about this week.
Yeah, he doesn't need any more, do you, Casey?
I've been hanging out with Cajun grandmas left and right. You have no idea.
Oh, my God.
All right. Let's get to
truly the defiant one, the ghost of Casey.
In the Wand Off. And it's time for our honorable mentions. That's right, Rob. We'll kick it off with honorable mention from MJ from Massachusetts talking about that idol.
Sometimes I'm hating. Other times I'm loved. Have a headache. I'll pull your pain away. The immunity idol should be here no matter what. He brings us good luck. Panoply shut up. I'm cowboy. Nestle on manager is my title. I want it to bring me immunity idol. I want it the immunity idol.
A beautiful song from the group Bon Jovitas.
I was wondering where you're gonna go. Bon Jovi gives you a lot of options, I feel like.
Jovi Vlachos.
Yeah, you could have done Jean Bon Who.
Oh.
Could have worked.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of options there. Yeah, maybe a tactical error to vote out Cowboy after consuming all those lamb shanks, because you got to imagine they're going to get the meat sweats. He could have taken the bad wind out of all of them after eating the lamb shank.
Is a headache involved in meat sweats?
I mean, I think it certainly could be.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could start to like feel a little panicky, maybe, because you're like, oh, I feel hot, sweaty, and greasy, and I need help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of different ways you could have gone.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I like where you went, though. It was good.
Yeah. Okay. Josh, we have another honorable mention coming up from DJ Figueroa McNichol and Nick Fishman.
Amazing.
Cowboy is obsessed with that big hunk of wood. He sees that idol in his dreams. I thought that you saw me as your main squeak. We don't need that thing to survive. Cause every time you bring our idol on sight, arrow for sure thinks that our tribe isn't right. It's not a living thing, it can't vote. Stay alive. We gotta embrace your dreams and credit score. And our Russian canvas is a huge eyesore. We got a perfect plan. Who do what happened to you? We got lamb shanked by I too.
That was from the artist Chaos Cascada. Cascada. Josh, we've got an honorable mention that's just for you and maybe AJ Mass and Zach Brooks.
Oh.
Here's Toby and Angie.
You had this dream.
I had this dream. Flush the idol, this old shaman lady.
Wow.
All kinds of credit cards. American Express, split the votes, 3-3. For me, it's better. It's better.
Wow. Wow. Very clever.
Either candidates or better.
I mean, this is gold if you get it. This is really cold.
But then it's cowboy, not Canada.
That's great.
That was the theme to the Netflix series, Dark the Chicken.
Damn. If you're not watching Dark the Chicken, then you're doing it wrong. If you're not watching Dark on Netflix, you're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
Very good. Very good. Very, 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 very good.
And Josh, our last honorable mention this week comes to us from Jeremy H. with a shout out to a tabulator favorite.
Oh, happy late birthday, Kurt.
Being on iTunes pretty sweet. Got Aussie fishing all day long. Win insider bread and lamb shank meat. Kicking Raro's ass with all our brawn. Singing wah, 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 wah. But Penner, 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 he's suspicious as hell, hell, hell. He might have an idol, and he's got a story to tell. It's what he does. Should we go plan voodoo, 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 and split the votes apart, apart, apart? No, this is Yuletopia. Vote cowboy, he's way too smart.
That was from the artist Chris Daughtry.
When are you and Kurt going to do a Utopia rewatch?
Utopia rewatch? It could be coming.
Right?
Depends how fast they can film a Survivor season.
How long this goes.
If they don't film in the spring,
if there isn't a season in the spring of 2021.
No, if they can't even film a season in the spring of 2020.
Yeah, you got to take out Utopia at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
We'll see. I've got ideas on ideas on ideas that I'm not going to run out of
podcast.
Things. Yeah.
Yeah, dystopia.
This is dystopia. Now that would that should be a show.
That's good.
Yes.
That's good.
Yes.
It's just utopia, but endless Zoom calls.
All right, Josh, are you ready to hear the top three songs in Wombat's Nation? Of course, they're curated by Top 5 Human, Randy Neupel.
Randy Neupel knows his way around a lamb shank. He's the guy. He would accept a delivery of lamb shanks from me, I'm sure. He wouldn't reject my offer for a lamb shank delivery.
It probably depends on how full is his freezer.
Mm-hmm. Randy, let me know. I'll send you some lamb shanks.
Mm-hmm.
If you want them.
Mm-hmm.
Then, Rob, I may send you some even if you don't. I have your address, so.
Josh, here comes Aaron Robertson and Nick Fishman with our first song here in the top three. Here,
our first in the top three, but how many for Nick and Aaron of the off season so far?
I believe every week. Here's Nick Fishman and
it's so much.
Nick and Aaron. They're back talking about playing voodoo.
Okay.
Dream. I got airline miles I need to redeem. But three and three cards bring to mind the fix to what did Penner find. You know, Penner can be prickly sometimes, but he's very perceptive. I mean, he's got the senses of an eagle, his ears can hear lyrics very well, and I don't think he's gonna ever injure himself, ever. He must have found on exile his hat that is not in style, but also the idol probably too. But we got the votes for Plan Voodoo. I know this is a foreign idea, as head scratching when I rip Brad's head in the premiere. And like that headache, Penner's bothering me. So split on Candace and Penner gets three. I hear Jeff Probst is perplexed with why the idol was sitting with me fifth. It is my precious, so it gets a seat. I'm no Gollum, but I'm feeling the heat. You voted me out and I'll cause you pain. You can't repay Jeff since you didn't see my theft. I snatched my baby when I left. Pam is so entertaining. I hope to get a goofy-loving nickname from him someday. One can dream.
That was Nick and Goofer.
Not
what did
a
he
cold,
say?
Was that a cold plate
Michelle
of lamb shank?
Has a hairy chest. What did cancel that?
It's not even a line. It's not even a joke.
That was from Coldplay, Coldwit. Cold last.
That's good. That's very good.
Josh, our number two song here in Wombat's Nation comes to us from Molly Gallant, talking about the things that Cowboy sees when he goes to sleep at night.
Well, it's a pretty plan for us to take on. Won't it be funny when John Penner's idol's gone? It's called Plan Voodoo. We'll take the Caucasians down, down. The shaman lady came to my dream. She was a little shady, and she offered me credit card applications and said you need three and three. Three and three. Let's split votes this way tonight. No regrets, it's just Penner. We can do a grand blind side. Yule and I change the game forever. Survivor owes its strategy to Cowboy's dream. Good thing he fell asleep to kidnappers. Don't be afraid, cause I'll bring our idol to tribal council. This statue is the divine to me, even though it's just made for TV. Wait, it's not real? I should have chanced a well-made voodoo doll over this tribe idol.
That was from the artist Katie Gallagher Perry, mm-hmm. or guess that Katy Perry Cuomo song.
Amazing.
Josh, our third and final song in Wombats Nation comes to us from MNC from Brooklyn.
Okay.
Talking about the iconic inventor of Planned Voodoo.
I had this dream. I was dealing with all these supernatural people and with supernatural power. And there's this shaman lady, like this old lady. And she had all kinds of credit card applications. And she asked me if I have an American Express card. Or Visa, all the stuff I'm looking at it. And I said, what I need it for.
Cowboy wakes up from a dream. And he's come up with a scheme. And he screams how it seems. They gotta split the vote by threes. He starts rambling about credit cards and everybody disregards, but this game ain't never gonna be the same. So they pack up all their bags. He thinks Penna has the idol. He's made a lot of noise about how Planned Voodoo is vital. Listen to the shaman lady to execute this ploy, but the mule says, save the idol, go down cowboy. But the mule says, save the idol, pull out cowboy. Well, you walks into tribal, and he's winking while he's clinging, his bling blinging, and the tribe is thinking, Lamb Shanks now, and he wouldn't trade his safety for boys healing ways, or his comic phrase, or his kindly gaze. He's got 24 days left in this game, so they pack up all their bags, and they head out on the double. They aren't splitting any votes, cause cowboy is causing trouble. Get rid of Planned Voodoo, they won't execute this ploy, because you said, save my idol, but our cowboy. What? Save my idol, but our cowboy.
Amazing.
You can head over to robhasawebsite.com/votewanda to vote for the third song of the week from Big Tom and Rich Hatch.
The strange combo.
There you go. They both were on Survivor All Stars.
I guess they were there together at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're both there. Josh, those are your top three songs in Wombats Nation. Josh,
terrific.
Next week, what episode of Survivor will we be listening to Wand Offs from next?
I don't know how we top the Shanks. And I certainly hope that somebody brings some Shanks to next week's Wand Off. I hope that they are here to stay. But we're getting to an episode 7, which is often merge time. Mm-hmm. And it shall be so next week, as we will talk about one of the most beloved episodes, one of the most beloved merge episodes from one of the most beloved seasons in recent memory, and perhaps even of all time, and certainly one that is going to have even more to divine from it, given recent Survivor events. We are going to Cagayan for the Tribal Council vote out of President Sarah Lucina.
Yes.
We're going to Cagayan. We're going season 28, episode 7, Survivor Cagayan merge episode is our next destination here.
I love it. I love it. It'll be great. We'll talk about everything. The end of Sarah's story in season 1, in part 1 of the Cops Are Us trilogy.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. Yes. That'll be next week on the Wiggle Room. Looking forward to that one. Josh, how familiar are you with the Renap bot?
I'm familiar enough. I see the Renap bot in my Menchie's sometimes, but I don't really understand. Is it like the Root bot? Is it not a real person?
Yeah, the Renap bot is not a real person. That it is some sort of artificial intelligence developed by the same person, Daniel, who is behind the Root bot. And allegedly, yeah, it's supposed to spit out ideas for Robin Akiva Need a Podcast. But I feel like that the Renap bot is especially obsessed with you. Mm. We had a great episode of Renap this past week, Robin and Akiva Get Dragged, where Akiva and I were able to come up with a panel of people helping us come up with our drag personas.
Nice.
That's up on robinswebsite.com. But the Renap bot is constantly pitching Josh Wiggler ideas, including just 6 minutes ago, an episode called Kids Sells Out, grammatically incorrect. Rob and Akiva are joined by music podcasting sensation Josh Wiggler to evaluate the best pop culture ripoffs and, in the end, determine which one will be crowned king of the genre. Josh, would you be able to help us to evaluate the best pop culture ripoffs?
And who is the king of that genre?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I could probably swing that. That sounds like an achievable idea.
What would a pop culture ripoff be?
Well, I don't know why we're calling it Kids Sells Out, but obviously we have to keep the name. I think a great idea for Renap is to try and attempt all of the Renap bot's suggestions for Josh Wiggler teaming up with Robin Akiva. We could just pull that together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Best ripoffs of pop culture is, are we talking like spoofs? Are we talking like the Not Another Scary Movie? Is that a ripoff of pop culture?
I think you would be the decider.
Yeah, I think it would be.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be a ripoff of pop culture.
But I do feel like that the Renap bot is frequently talking about
Sounds like
about
Survivor
Josh
Winners
Wiggler.
At War was almost a ripoff of pop culture.
Yeah.
Just snatching from the Defiant ones.
Yeah, I think so. Well, it borrows from things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That there was one idea yesterday where the Renap bot wanted me to do a podcast about my closeted love for you, and I replied, it's not closeted.
Yeah, I think you're pretty open about it.
Yeah.
I think we've been best friends for like 8 years.
Yeah. So, I don't know. The Renap bot's a little screwy.
Yeah,
all right.
I don't know. I like it, though.
What do you have coming up?
We've got another episode of Mole Patrol hitting reality TV wrap-ups this week.
I'm hearing so much positive feedback on Mole Patrol.
It's been a delight. It's been super, super fun. It's the podcast debut of Brooklyn Zed. Not just the RHAP debut of Brooklyn Zed, but the podcast debut of Brooklyn Zed. And you would not know it. They are a natural. Jessica Lease, of course, who is the world's foremost Cooperologist. Number one Andy Coops stan. And I'm just here for the ride to figure out what the hell is going on, because I have no idea. And it's spoiler free because I don't know the spoilers. So if you've watched The Mole, it's probably fun to hear somebody's first takes on The Mole. If you've never watched The Mole, it's a perfectly safe podcast for you, because I've never watched it either.
And the beauty for me is I can go back and listen to the podcast and watch, because I've forgotten all the spoilers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. So at one point, I had knew the spoilers, and now enough time has
gone
by, it's new to me again.
That's great. That's exciting.
I forgot.
That's like my dad is looking to rewatch Lost, and like he's like, I don't remember any of
it. Watch it again for the first time.
And I was like, Dad, do you have any idea how badly I wish to have your brain right now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what I want for myself all the time. Can I just watch Lost again without knowing?
Yeah. Boy, Josh, if you could take a pill or a Men in Black thing that would you could forget that you've seen your favorite things,
yeah,
would you do it so that you could experience it again for the first time?
This is a dangerous idea, though, because you change as a person, and the thing you loved may not love you back.
Or you might not love it. You might be in the right headspace.
You've moved
for
on.
It.
You've changed. The world's changed. I don't know. I think that's like the what's the thing that turns Tom Shanks big and big?
Mm-hmm.
It's that
Zoltar.
Yeah, and that turns out to not be great.
Yeah. I wonder if that's how people will look at this podcast of like, boy, I wish I could, if I could just take this pill, would I be able to listen to this episode again and, and experience how much I loved it? Or would I not want to change my initial memory and impression?
That's hard to say.
Hard to say.
Hard to say. You okay. Swallow that pill with a hot and heavy glass of apple cider. Get it
hot
all down.
And heavy. And
do you think the apple cider was hot?
I hope not. That's gross.
That would be terrible.
Yeah.
That would be trash. Not that hot apple cider is trash, but I think hot apple cider in that context is a terrible call.
No, it's trash. Stop it.
What, just generally?
No, hot cider. Come on.
Really? Overall?
Well, what's the time to consume hot cider? What am I drinking instead of tea?
It's a cold, snowy day in December. You've got your family around you. If it's safe. No. If it's safe to do. If not, you're on
hot cider
call.
And my family is around. Okay.
And you've got a blanket around your lower body.
Yes. Bring it back
blanket
to the blanket.
On your lower body, and you got a hot mulled cider in your hands.
I mean, a tea, a coffee, hot chocolate, any of those things. Of any hot beverage.
All right. Remember this, because for the Happy Holidays special this year, we're eating lamb shanks and hot apple cider.
Yes. Yes. Okay. All right. There you go.
You
all
know,
right.
I think there's some apple cider and lamb fans shanks out there. Happy holidays. It's happening.
Yeah, so get around the
someone
campfire.
Remind us. We need to remember. We need to remember.
Okay. Okay. I would love to go have a lamb shank at a dinner, but I don't want a frozen one at my house.
Yeah. All right. Well.
Okay.
Sometimes we don't get what we want.
All right. People want to see how long I can hold my breath for.
Do that off the podcast. This is patron content now. You should be a patron because you get to watch us do this the video live.
All right. There you go. All right. We've got our patron trivia coming up on Monday night. We've got patron mafia coming up on Tuesday night. And did I mention, Josh Wiggler, that I broke the RHAP podcasting record of I did a 7-hour patron call-in show on Friday.
That's unbeatable.
On video.
That's unbeatable. Is that available in podcast form?
Yeah.
And released as a 7-hour podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the title holder.
Yeah.
The title holder by like a solid hour and a half to 2 hours.
It's for patrons only. It was so long that I've had patrons write to me and say, Rob, I quit. I don't even want this 7-hour podcast.
Did people actually quit?
I mean,
being
if they did, they didn't say it was because of that.
Oh. Yeah,
exaggerating.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah,
I would say go outside and live your life, but no, you're doing the right thing here.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah. Okay. All right, Josh.
Did you
Wiggler,
take bathroom breaks?
I took one bathroom break.
Okay. Is that kept in the podcast or no?
Sometimes I will set two people up. Like, you guys talk for a minute. I'm going to go take a bathroom break.
That's smart.
Go make coffee at one point and switch to my phone and went downstairs for a little bit.
Okay.
Checked in with the family. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good call. Josh Wiggler will be back here next Monday to talk about Survivor Kagyan. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
I see you throwing puzzle pieces just behind the stand over on Jean-Hu. I ask her if she's good at puzzles. What does she say? She's like, Sudoku and a
Sudoku, pay attention.
If Aaron didn't switch ya, he'd still be with ya. Ha! Now ain't that some shh. And although there's James and his pecs, they load Aaron instead. He got
swap screws.
Yeah, Aaron, sorry. He won't make it very far. But whoever said Survivor was fair? Now James has two idols. Ain't that so bizarre? I guess that means turnabout is fair. Play a pity the fool who plays the game with you all. Oh shit, she's a controller. Don't think she can move slower. Ooh, I've got some news for you all. Eric's gonna be Jamie's boyfriend. I see ya throwing puzzle pieces just behind the stand over on
Jean-Hoo.
I ask her if she's good at puzzles. What does she say? She's like, Sudoku and a
Sudoku, pay attention.
If Aaron didn't switch up, he'd still be with ya. Ha! Now ain't that some shh.
And although there's James and his pecs, they wrote Aaron instead. He got swapped screws.